excited to preach this morning because the Transfiguration has become for me one of my favorite events in the life of Christ to pray with, which was surprising to me because this wasn't always the case, because for a long time, I really didn't get what this moment meant. There are some great theological and scriptural meanings which are interesting, and it's a cool moment that Jesus reveals himself in all his godly glory. But just like trying to figure out, like, what does this actually mean? Like, why did this happen? What can we learn from this? Just never really struck me. Just kind of stood out as just a neat story to listen to. And so it wasn't until I made a connection with another event in Christ's life that the Transfiguration became very clear what it means and became a very powerful reflection for me. For the Transfiguration of Jesus makes little sense if it stands on its own without this later parallel event where Jesus again reveals his godly glory, but in a much different way. And this parallel event is Jesus' crucifixion and death. For I realized that the Transfiguration and crucifixion of Jesus are the exact same event. In both of them, the glory of God is fully revealed. Now, this is especially true in Matthew's Gospel, which we hear about today. And I looked ahead in Matthew's Gospel, and it's amazing. If you take the Transfiguration by Matthew and the Crucifixion by Matthew, and if you lay them side by side, you see that Matthew also sees them as one and the same event. And I want to go through that a little bit. So if you lay them side by side, we see that in both of them, Jesus goes up a mountain. The Transfiguration, he goes up Mount Tabor. And the Crucifixion, he goes up the Mount of Golgotha. In both of them, he is transfigured. Today we see him transfigured in the brilliance of light and his face like the sun. In the Crucifixion, he is transfigured by the scourgings and beatings of his passion, his face bruised and battered. We see him in both flanked by two people. In the Transfiguration, he is flanked by Moses and Elijah. In the Crucifixion, he is flanked by two thieves. In the Transfiguration story, we hear that a bright cloud comes over and casts a shadow upon them. In the Crucifixion, Matthew says that darkness covered the land. We hear in both that people are afraid. The disciples are afraid to see Jesus in his godly glory, the Transfiguration. And they're afraid at the Crucifixion. And then this one, which is perhaps the most amazing one, both have a verbal proclamation that Jesus is God and that he's the Son of God. In the Transfiguration, this comes from God the Father himself, who says, "This is my beloved Son." In the Crucifixion, there is a centurion where when Jesus dies, he says, "Truly, this was the Son of God." So these all point to and lead us to the conclusion that the Transfiguration and the Crucifixion are the exact same event. And the implications for this become transformative. For it means that the glory of God can be found in both the beauty of Tabor and the brutality of Golgotha. What this means is that God can be found when we are transfigured by the joys of life, and God can be found when we are transfigured, crucified by the sorrows of life. In both the joys and sorrows, the glory of God can be found. In both, we can say, here is the Son of God. He's not only found in the good, but he can also be found in the bad and evil that we experience. Now, this doesn't mean that God wants the bad or evil to happen, that he can be found in the midst of it despite it. Now, this doesn't come naturally to us. When things are going good and our life is full of the joy and peace of the Transfiguration, it is easy to say, yes, here you are, God, in all of your glory. But when our life is falling apart and full of the anxiety and sorrow of the cross, we are much more inclined to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? We're not alone in this, though. For while the transfiguration and the crucifixion are the same event, there is one person in this story who, like us, reacts very differently to each one. And this person is our beloved Saint Peter. Saint Peter, who so often reflects both the best of ourselves and the worst, makes him a fitting man to be head of the church and our first pope. We see at the transfiguration, as Jesus is shining brilliantly white in his face like the sun and his glory is on full display, Peter excitedly runs up to the Lord and says, "Lord, it is good to be here. In fact, it's so good to be here. Let's make tents and stay here a while." St. Peter, like us, wants to stay in the good times. He doesn't want to leave those times. And why would he or anyone? I wouldn't want to leave at that moment. Here is Jesus having an almost movie-like display of godliness. But this is not the only place that God can be found. Because if you fast forward through the life of Christ, where is Peter at the display of godliness on the cross? He's nowhere to be found. He is not there saying, "It is good to be here." He is setting up no tents to stay. In fact, he's running away. He is running away from the display of God on the cross. He shows us that it is just as hard to leave the good times God gives to us as it is to stay with God in the bad times. And St. Peter, like us so often, want to stay with God only when he looks like this, rather than when he looks like that, the crucifix on the wall. And so St. Peter, by his example, asks us the question, as strange as it may seem, can we say it is good to be here and stay with God at the foot of Tabor and at the foot of the cross? Can we say it is good to be here in the good times and the bad times because God is found in both of them? So, as you can imagine, it's not an easy question to ask or even try to answer. For all of us right now find ourselves experiencing the transfiguration. Some of us are experiencing the transfiguration of the gospel of Tabor, where things are going well for us. And praise the Lord for that. It's easy to see God revealed to you in this time, and you, like maybe like St. Peter, be tempted to set up tents and stay a while because it's comfortable. Some of us, though, are experiencing the transfiguration of Golgotha, and you are suffering. And I wish that you weren't. And you want nothing more than to run away from it all like St. Peter. But as crazy as it may sound, the glory of God can be found there too. In the midst of your pain and suffering, you can still say, "Here is the Son of God." And the proof of this is found in the other disciple who is there with St. Peter, and that is John. And John was present at both the transfiguration and the crucifixion. And so being present at both, he knows that God is there. In a small way, it's something that I can relate to him for a little bit. For as a priest, I find myself going to and from the transfiguration and the crucifixion quite often. Each day I could find myself celebrating a joyous moment like a baptism, and just a few hours later I find myself heavy-hearted in the hospital. In the midst of that, though, being in both of those places, I can say confidently that in those times and places, God is there and his glory is revealed. I think this is one of the great gifts we can give to the world as Christians, that in the time that the world appears to be covered in darkness, we do not fall into despair, because we know that God is with us and his glory can be found even in those dark times. Today is a reminder that the glory of God shines through everything. He is present to us in the good and joyful times of our life and in the sorrowful and bad times as well. But if we do not try to stay too long in the transfiguration, or if we do not try to run away too quickly from the crucifixion, we can say and will be able to say, here is the glory of God revealed. Here is the Son of God.